Good evening. It is wonderful to be with you once again. I love you all with all my heart, unconditionally, unequivocally. All is well. Most of you have come here to listen to words. You wanted to hear me say something profound, something different, something unusual. How many years have you been listening to words since you were born? And all the words have done for you is today you believe what is real is false, and what is false is real. As an example, you believe the world to be real. You believe your body, your mind to be real. You believe that everything your senses show you and tell you is real. That's a lie. And you believe ultimate reality, perfection, infinite love, absolute awareness doesn't exist. Or if it exists, you don't know anything about it. The truth is just in reverse. What you cannot comprehend, what you cannot see, touch, feel, smell, taste, is the reality. And what you've been worshipping all these years, a home, a couch, a chair, a car, money, the body, is false. It's false because you have to leave it in the end. That which is not true all of the time cannot be real. And everything in this universe changes to something else. Nothing lasts forever. Therefore, nothing is real. This is the reason we have this world in precarious conditions than today. For people have been believing in things that change, things that come to an end, and they're always disappointed. The life that it appears to you today can only lead to disappointment. Due to the fact it has to change. Yet there is something that is unchangeable, immutable. Something you can rely upon. Something that will always take care of you and save you and watch over you. And it's something is yourself. You are the one. Yourself is not your body, or your mind, or your thoughts, or your opinions. Yourself is absolute reality. Yourself is existence. Knowledge, bliss. You are that self. People still want to know what happens when one is realized, when they awaken to this truth. What good is this teaching? if it does not bring you peace, happiness, love, freedom, many of you have never known real happiness, real peace. You believe that things of this world bring you happiness, and you are conditioned to believe certain things here make you happy, certain things in this world make you sad. You've been brainwashed, hypnotized. Yet, how many people want to know the truth? How many people really want freedom and liberation? For no purpose whatsoever. Just to be free and liberated. And it's true, when you are liberated, the world no longer has a hold on you. The universe, the world, people, places, and things can no longer frighten you. You become radiantly happy just by being. In order for you to be happy today, you think you need certain things in your life. You think if you win the lotto, you'll be happy. If you have a new house, you'll be happy. And if you have a new husband or a new wife, you'll be happy. You have an endless list of the things that it takes to make you happy. Yet you find through experience, when you achieve these things, the happiness is only short-lived. And then you have to search again. It never ends. Yet I say to you, your real nature is pure happiness, peace. All you have to do is discover it within yourself, for you are that. You have always been that. There is absolutely nothing wrong in this world whatsoever. It is you who see the error. For instance, you believe that if somebody dies, that's bad. Why is that bad? Due to the fact you don't understand what death is. Death is like sleep. When you lie down and go to sleep, you awaken. Yet when you slept, you lost consciousness. You're not aware of this world any longer. And when you awaken, you say, I slept soundly. I feel good. I feel wonderful. Where were you when you slept? What happened to you? Death is similar. You simply go to sleep to this world. And you wake up refreshed and happy. Everything else is the same way. The unknown is the reality. The known comes to an end and brings misery. We therefore have to seek the unknown. And again, the place to seek is within yourself. All of the answers are within you. Everything you've ever been looking for is within you. We have to change our minds and begin to go inward instead of outward. We have learned as we grew older in school, in the streets, that we have to be extroverted to get along with people. Take a look at the world and look at what these extroverted people are doing. The extroverted people, all of your politicians, all of the leaders of this world, these are the people who make the rules and regulations. And they're extroverted. But the truth is, you have to become introverted. In other words, you have to go within yourself and find this truth we're talking about, this reality, this peace, this love, this joy that never changes. You have to look for it yourself. Search for it till you find it. It is within you. You are that. You do not have to travel anywhere or read any books or run to different classes. You merely have to take the time to be by yourself and turn within. By turning within, I mean you have to quiet the mind. You must use any method you can to quiet the mind. It is the mind that has all of these beliefs. For instance, when we talk about a certain subject such as healing, health, we have been brought up to believe we are a body. Anybody can catch a cold, become sick, develop cancer, die. All of these false opinions have been accepted by us subconsciously. Then collectively these things happen to us and this enforces our belief. Yet the ultimate truth about healing is that nobody ever became sick. Therefore, there's no one to heal. This is the ultimate truth. There's no health and there's no sickness. Yet most of us do not understand this ultimate truth, except intellectually. So we take a step down. When we discuss healing and health, when you look at your body without consciousness, it is simply a heap of flesh with bone and fluids. This is all your body is. A heap of flesh with bones and fluids. Now the flesh in itself cannot get sick. If you are just a piece of flesh and you are, you believe you're a body with bones and fluids, the flesh is going to catch a cold. Kind of develop cancer. Kind of have any disease. Well, there's no consciousness. There's just flesh. It's the same when you're sleeping. When you're in deep sleep, you're not aware that you have cancer or AIDS or anything else. You are free of these things when you are asleep. In the same way, if you were just a heap of flesh and you are without any consciousness, it's virtually impossible for you to get any kind of disease. But then consciousness comes into the picture. Can you say that consciousness brings disease? On the contrary, consciousness is all pervading. It is the substratum of all existence. If consciousness knew anything about disease, the whole universe would be immediately destroyed. Yet when consciousness animates your body, you become like a puppet. You're able to move, run, dance, sing, speak, for you have been animated by consciousness. Prior to this, you were a heap of flesh. Now consciousness is animating you and you're able to walk, talk, speak, hear. Everything comes to pass. But the flesh has not done this. Consciousness has done this. Just like the print on the paper that I talked about last week. The paper is consciousness and the print is your body. If the paper were not available, there would be nowhere to put the print. So if consciousness were not there, there would be no body whatsoever. Consciousness is absolute reality, pure awareness. Can you therefore say that consciousness has brought disease to the body? Of course not. Therefore, it appears to be a mystery. If the bodily flesh by itself cannot become sick, and consciousness is free of disease, where does the disease come from? Well, there appears to be a knot between the consciousness and the flesh, a knot that separates the consciousness from the flesh. This knot is called imagination. It is the imagination that brings the sickness, the fears, the frustrations, and everything else to the flesh. The imagination. In our case, the imagination has brainwashed us since we were children, perhaps from past lives also, to believe in sickness, in lack and limitation, and all of these negatives that appear to be real. Consciousness exists, but appears to be dormant, for the imagination has taken over and makes the flesh believe it has cancer or anything else, cold, disease. It is like the snake in the rope. Imagine you live in Texas, in the desert, and you are aware of all the rattlesnakes. You go to your house during twilight time. You're going to take a bath. There's a coiled rope lying on the floor that you have forgotten you put there yourself. In the twilight hours, you can't see clearly, and the rope looks like a rattlesnake. So immediately you stop short, and the imagination begins to work. You start to perspire in fear. The heart starts palpitating. You start shaking. Your imagination has done this to you. It has caused your body to react a certain way, and symptoms appear. Palpitations, shaking, fear. Then you grab an axe and hit the rope. And you discover it's a rope, it's not a rattlesnake at all. And you start laughing. The fear disappears, the palpitations stop, the swelling stops. But look what happened to you from this false assumption. Also, the what in the mirage is another example. You've been in the desert a long time. You're very, very thirsty. You want a drink of water. You're going to be real thirsty for your imagination to take over. All of a sudden you see an oasis a couple of yards away. Beautiful flowing water, shade trees. You crawl over, there's nothing there but sand. It's a mirage. Do you see what I'm getting at? The net between consciousness and your body is the imagination. It is the imagination that causes you to believe and think something is wrong. Disease is real. And the imagination causes your belief to become real for you. A simple example is if you believe you're going to catch a cold because you're walking in the rain. In truth and reality, the rain cannot give you a cold, cannot do anything for you, except make you wet. Yet you believe the rain can do this to give you a cold, and sure enough you catch a cold. And all of your life you believe these things. You pass this information on to your children. Do not walk in the rain, you'll catch a cold. And they pass them to their children. So forth and so on. Think of all the things you believe right now that are false. Think of all the beliefs that have been imposed upon you. Just about 99% of everything you believe is a lie. That's a heavy one, but that's true. 99% of all the things you believe is a lie. This is why in the higher teachings we are told to stop the mind from thinking. For all of these beliefs are in the mind like dormant seeds waiting to sprout. By dormant seeds I mean everything is quiet, everything is still until something happens. There's a storm and you got wet. You believe you're going to catch a cold. Those are the dormancies I'm talking about. Your belief system becomes activated and you catch a cold. But you have invented the cold. You have invented the disease. I know some of you think that's a strange thing for me to say. AIDS is so rampant. Cancer is so rampant. Heart condition is so rampant. And I'm saying that you are causing these things. Collectively, we all believe the same things. So collectively, we cause the conditions to become worse by accepting them as real. Metaphysical movements are called movements. Try to teach you to renounce these things and use affirmations and so forth in your place. But this is all kindergarten. The only way to get rid of the false assumptions, the samskaras, the mental impressions that have been with you for centuries, life after life, is by destroying the mind totally and completely. And the way to destroy the mind is through inquiring who has a mind to begin with. Who has a mind to begin with? The truth about you is you are mindless. Your mind idea is just a belief. It's only a belief that you have a mind that causes you problems, that causes you to become sick. This is a belief. And this belief has to be transcended and transmuted. You are not the mind. You are not the body. You are not the samskaras. You are absolute reality. Pure awareness. This is your true nature. Therefore, the fastest way in this age to transcend the mind is through Atma Vichara, is self-inquiry. You have to work within yourself. You have to observe these beliefs of humanity. And as you feel them yourself, inquire, to whom do they come? Who has these beliefs? Who feels this? You will say, I feel this. I feel sickness. I believe this is like this and this is like that. All these things you've been talking about, I believe. There is the answer. The I that you're speaking of is not you. The I is the first person. The first thought that ever comes into your mind is I. Well, don't you say to yourself, I feel this. I have a cold, I feel sick. I have AIDS, I have cancer. This is a clue for you. Think of what you're saying. You're saying, I have these things. Not I am the real you, but I. The I we're talking about is a thought. The I thought is connected to all the things of this world. And when you get rid of the I thought, everything else will go with it. This is why this is called the direct method and the fastest method to become free and liberated. So you're not trying to remove thoughts. You're not trying to heal yourself. You're not trying to see the truth. You're working on eliminating the I that has caused you all these troubles, all these problems. You step back and examine the I. You begin to realize all of your life, you've said to yourself, I am this and I am that. I have pain. I hate this. I love this. I feel terrible, I feel good. It is always the I. It is this I that has to go. The I is the mind. Same thing. The I has to be totally eliminated. And the only way to do this is to follow it to its source by inquiring, who am I? Which means, what is the source of the I? The source of the I is absolute reality. Satchitananda, ultimate oneness, nirvana. Yet you've not experienced these high states. Therefore, as far as you're concerned, they do not exist. But your eye does exist. Your eye has always existed, so it appears, since you were born. At least you realize that your job in this life is to follow the eye and destroy it. Again, it is only destroyed when you follow it to the source. When you follow to the source, your personality disappears, which is your personal I. You become all-pervading, omnipresent, joy, happiness, and bliss. This is the most important work that you have. Most of you believe that your work is important, the things that you do every day is important. There are some relevancy, of course. But you're going to die one of these days. When you're on your deathbed, will you be concerned about your work? Will you be concerned about your family or the world or politics or anything else? When you're on your deathbed, you will be filled with fear because you're going to leave this world and everything in it and go into an unknown quantity, an unknown place that you never heard of before. You have no idea where you're going. It is something unknown. Therefore, at that time, you will give up all of your politics, you will give up all of your wants, your needs. Why wait until then? Why not give it up now? So if you give it up now, you will enter reality where there is no birth and no death, no good and no bad, no duality whatsoever, no universe, no world, no others, no body, no mind. You have become what we call God. Which is the absolute reality. Therefore, if you are wise, you will begin immediately to work on yourself. This doesn't mean you have to give up anything, except mentally. You will begin diligently to work on yourself. Every moment of the day, when you feel hurt, you feel sick, you feel disgusted, you feel depressed, you feel the world closing in on you, you inquire within yourself, who feels this? To whom does it come? I do. What is the source of the I? Become quiet and still, and everything will take care of itself. Feel free to ask questions.
Or question.
Go.
Should we treat children?
How should you treat children? Treat children as if they were gods. Love them with all your heart and with all your soul. If you really love children, the love that you feel for them will encompass them also. And they will become loving children. I don't mean love them with a human idea of love. I mean really love them with all your heart and with all your soul. See them as a sacred being. See them as a god. And realize divine right action is pouring itself through them. See only the goodness in them. Become an example for them. Do not tell them to do anything that you wouldn't do yourself. Children become what they see, not what they hear. Therefore, if there's peace in your home, if there's love in your home, if there's joy in your home, I mean real peace, real love, real joy. They have to pick it up. It has to pour into them. And they will react with love and with peace and with joy. They will grow up to be kind, compassionate, beautiful human beings. And this will become a new world. So again, become an example of love and compassion and peace. Whenever you look at them or think about them, look at them with love and compassion and joy and peace. And then you'll be surprised what happens. If you haven't done anything to them when they were kids, when they become teenagers, you've got a problem. So even as a teenager, you've got to become an example. They've already been brainwashed. It was Khrushchev, remember, the Russian Prime Minister, who said, "Give me a child up to the age of 5 and I'll give you a lifetime communist." It is when children are babies that you have to do these things. When they become teenagers in a household that is filled with error, full of animosity, they will act accordingly. Therefore, the only thing you can do to teenagers is to bless them and let them go. Realize that the current that knows the way, that takes care of the whole universe, is taking care of them also. That they are in their right place, at the right time, going through the experiences that they need to go through right now. Become a very positive personality and let them go.
language, when you say treat them like a god, you mean like in the same way that you told us to love ourselves?
Yes, exactly.
And of course, in the best way we know how.
See them as yourself. You gotta love yourself first. If you're an angry person, mad person, bad temper, do not see them as that self. Rather, work on yourself first and get rid of all those negative qualities. Then see them as yourself. For there's only one self. That self is love. That self is compassion, bliss, consciousness. Know this about yourself. Then include your children. But you can't be a troubled person and then send out love to your children. It will not work. For the children are part of yourself and they become what you really are deep inside. This is why if you want a peaceful household with peaceful children, so you've got to become peaceful yourself first. And the vibrations will go into your household. Your children will pick them up and become peaceful children.
Is there any person that doesn't grow up with the I thought?
Yes. People in previous lives have done the work that we're talking about. They have gone through this again and again, many lifetimes. They come back to be a teacher. They come back to this planet voluntarily. And they come back as a pure being. So there are people who come back to this planet pure. try to remember we're speaking at a certain level. Most of you who know me realize that it's all a bunch of hogwash. There's no coming back, there's no going, there's no planet, there's no universe. There's only the self, and you are that. But as long as you believe you are a body, then the things we're talking about are real and true for you.
Are they real and true, or do they just appear to be?
They appear to be.
But they aren't.
They aren't, of course not. But the Maya is so strong that you think these things are real and true. The imagination is Maya.
Robert, how come you know there's a lie, and I'm buying the lie, I see the Maya, and I keep dwelling in it, and I'm aware that it's a lie, and I still will hang on to it. I mean, it's like there's nothing else. If I let go of this, what else is there? Sort of thought. You know?
It is like taking drugs. If you've been taking heroin for many years, you know it's no good, you know it's a lie, you know it's killing you, but you have to keep taking it. So this was this. We've been brainwashed for so many centuries, so many incarnations. Yet you've done something to be in a class like this. We begin to see it's all a lie. Therefore, it appears that it will not immediately remove itself from you. For it took you so many incarnations, so many lifetimes to be where you are now. Do not look at time. Do not think how hard it is. But be grateful for where you are to be able to see it intellectually at first. And begin to realize the whole world is a lie. And little by little, slowly but surely, like skins on an onion. An onion has many skins. And you have to peel them off one at a time. But when a diamond is first found in the earth, it does not appear to be a diamond. It is filled with crud and dirt after thousands of years of being in the earth. It's got to be polished and refined and cut. And so it is that you also have to be polished. You have to be cut. All the dirt has to be cut away, the crud. As you have patience, as you are grateful for where you are, as you work on yourself every day, then you will wake up at any time.
It's difficult to talk after you talk because you talk quiet and I talk of a storm cloud. When I was at the studio backlot, which is open to anybody, and there's a time there, and the time shows you the studio background. And the time also goes through a tunnel. And then the time stops in the tunnel. Now the tunnel is made to revolve around you, and the tunnel is off. And you know without any doubt that that time is standing still. That when the tunnel turns this way, you feel it turning this way. You know without any doubt that you're not turning at all, and yet you feel your turn.
Mm.
And everybody wants to see what Maya is like. She don't take that time out. You know the time is not turning around the Chevy. You know the tone is just made to revolve around you while it's standing still. and then Chom turns this way, you turn this way. The tongue turns this way, you turn this way. In fact, you're falling over. You
yes.
know the tongue, the palm is standing still. You know it like you know anything. And yet, still.
True.
I think maybe that's one of the most heaviest experiences of my life I've ever gone through. It seems to be even heavier than this body.
Mm.
Because you know it, the time, the heavy time isn't turned around, it's just the tone that's turning on.
Yes. That's a good analogy.
It's worth to go to see, just to see how strong it is. And you know it ain't so.
Where do you have to go to see him?
Where do you go? The behind the back lot? The, what's it called?
The Universal Studio.
Yeah, Universal Studio. Now there's a time that goes and shows you all the back lots. It's one of the most powerful mayas I know, because you know it ain't so.
Mm.
And in fact, they had one they told us that in one of the scenes in movies that they made, they had a guy pulling after another guy in the tunnel, you know, as a movie actor. And even though he knows, of course, that the tunnel that's running on is steady, he's falling over every time. He can't even run after him.
Mm.
I don't know how often I would have to go before this illusion would stop. After a certain number, it would stop. But boy, anybody wants to see how strong Maya is, that's it. Universal Studio, yes, thank you. After that, you don't question Maya.
So we'll all go to Universal Studios and get rid of Maya.
The Maya store?
There's a time, just go to the time.
Well, you know what, too, though? I remember going to the same thing at Universal Studios,
yeah.
And I remember knowing that it was an illusion. So I remember looking down at the base of the, you know, the tour bus, and then just getting my perspective back, and then I would look up again, and then I would still be have the equilibrium. Then all of a sudden I would, as you said, I would keep leaning, and so I would look back down again to sort of, I guess, get centered, become centered. Then I would look back up again. You know? But it's, I think there's, that's maybe what the meditation is for, or whatever we do, you know, to try
whatever
to center.
Whatever it is, but you know that what you're seeing isn't there, and you still totally believe it's doing it.
Right, right.
Absolutely
right.
Totally. You have no doubt that you could always swear on it.
Yeah.
Sometimes children of the same parent can be wild and different.
Sometimes children can be wild and different.
Sir?
What'd you say?
Children of the same parent can be wildly different.
Yes, that's true. That has a lot to do with karma.
There's so many variables.
This is why the only thing that you should do is become free yourself. And then see if these questions bother you.
When you said something about perseverance, I was just thinking about something that I read that just applies to what you said, that that coal, the material coal and diamonds are made out of the same substance. It's just a matter of what makes a diamond is more pressure.
Mm.
It's time and pressure. Which is like it takes time, you know, it's just our own awakening is that sort of
a, that's a good point, too.
Yeah.
When a person is truly on a spiritual path, you forget all about time. Do not ask how long it takes and when am I going to become this. Do the work that's necessary. And leave the rest up to God.
On Sunday you said something to kind of tickle me. I said that I felt that Sri Ramakrishna was in the same category as Christ and Buddha and Krishna. And you said, that's a good crowd. And I was thinking about it later. I assume that you agreed with my statement about Sri Ramakrishna.
Yes.
And what I was thinking later, that's the only crowd to run with.
You're
right.
Of course.
Thank you.
This is why it tells you in all the ancient scriptures that the fastest way to really become enlightened is to hang out with the guru, with the sage. This is why we have satsang. Also, while I forget, because many of you have wanted more than two satsangs a week, we are now having a third satsang on a Saturday from 1 o'clock till 4 in the valley. In the home of Indians, Indian families letting us use the home. So those of you who are interested and want to come to another satsang, feel free to come on Saturday 1 to 4. We'll try it out and see what happens.
This Saturday?
Hmm?
This Saturday?
Yes.
Robert, can I ask you a question?
No.
No.
No. No.
Is there any significance to dreams of a spiritual nature?
Is there any significance to dreams of a spiritual nature? Dreams are of the ego. Yet when you become advanced, you do have visions and you do have high spiritual dreams that become sort of meaningful sometimes. So the answer is yes and no. It depends on the person having the dream. Some dreams are spiritual, high dreams, because you've been working on yourself diligently, and you come to a point where you can have dreams like this and see visions. So this is true. To others, dreams are just venting the emotions. If you didn't dream, you'd probably blow up. Dreams are ventilation of the emotions. Just as this life is a dream. This whole universe is a dream. Everything we're doing now is a dream. Yet you take it to be real, and you react to it. This is why you suffer, for you're reacting to a dream. Observe, watch, but do not react, and you will wake up.
Maharaj said, visions add zest to meditation.
Visions exist as what?
Visions add zest
to meditation. Added,
but they're in duality.
Yeah. Sure.
Robert, I just wanted to comment on that. I've experienced some hallucinogenic drugs before, and what I was just thinking of is talking about Maya and the mind. It's like from 1 second, I could be in absolute panic fear, and then in the next second, just absolute bliss and ecstasy and happiness and smiling, and then just back and forth like a ping pong ball. And it's just like the thought just takes you, and it becomes so real, you know, in the next second. And I mean, that's a magnified example of, you know, what seems to be happening in the middle of the race.
Where are you now?
Where am I now? The second? Peaceful. Anxious, like peaceful.
Do you need any hallucinogenic drugs to become peaceful?
Do I need them?
No.
Not anymore.
Be yourself.
That's always a good question. Be yourself.
And you will find peace in every dream existence.
Well, it's not that I should be something other than what I was in one aspect or another. But come to think about it, there's no way for me at any one time to be different than I am. In other words, it's really a matter of acceptance and realize that I don't really have any control over anything as an individual.
Mm. True.
So if I can accept myself, I'm good. I'm pretty good at not judging other people, but I'm pretty hard on myself. But if I could accept myself, I'd be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
What you really want to do is get rid of that self.
With a small s.
Yes. Then you'll be your real self. Do we have any announcements?
No. Most of the 59s have come back, are coming in, thanking everyone for bringing them in. So that was one transcript we've been missing. Yes, more? Great. Well, we'll put them on the table for the people who want them.
Would anybody like to buy a copy of the Astavakti Gita? I have a few. Good book.
That's very good. That's a good idea.
We'll give it back to you before you leave.
Okay.
I'll put it on the table. This is the information for the Saturday satsang from 1 to 4, so we're going to have it at the back of the table there for whoever is interested.
Maybe someone should read it once. Why don't you just read it through once?
Do you guys want it read now, or will you just take it down later?
Yeah.
Oh,
reading
them
up. It's familiarizing itself. Don't push it. Okay, Tom, you have all the time you want. No hurry.
It looks like the name of the street's Prasad to me.
No, that's her name.
That's her name.
It's best to.
Oh, later Prasad. Yeah, there is a street later on. It's Leda Prasad, that's the name of a person apparently. 23125 Voss Street, spelled V-O-S-E. And then there's something that says West Hills. Is that a town?
Yeah.
Where is that?
That's by Canoga Park.
Where?
Canoga Park.
Canoga Park.
Like up in the hill?
West Hills.
Going toward.
That's in the flats, I think.
It's in the flats, yeah.
Yeah. Heading toward Ventura, on the Ventura side of Canoga Park?
Canoga Park's kind of in the northwest part of the San Fernando Valley.
West of the Fang Canyon Boulevard near Sherman Lake.
You take 101 freeway, west, get off at Topanga, right? Turn right, go up to Sherman Way, turn left. Down to a street called what, Roy something?
R-O-Y-E-R.
Royer, yeah. Turn left to Bose, and turn right again. And go down about 1.5, 2 blocks at the end. 23125. Those are the directions about the road.
It's the last house in the cul-de-sac. So you can't escape once you get there.
There's a phone number also. It's area code 818-715-9218. There's some arcane numbers on the side here, but I don't suppose we need.
No.
Is this a packaged liquor store close by?
What?
When's the next Bhandara?
Right, the Bhandara is on the 26th. We're going to have music and entertainment. All kinds of things.
You're talking 26th of April?
26th of April.
How about the week before that?
You how about the week before?
Why don't we have it that day?
That's Easter.
Easter Sunday.
No.
Huh?
was, so feel free to bring food at that time.
The time of that is what, noon?
Noon.
1 o'clock?
1 o'clock.
It is Sunday, right?
Sunday.
It's Sunday, and are you going to go for the 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock is good.
Yeah.
Whoever comes first eats the food. We have some delicious prasad, thanks to Tony. Remember to love yourself, to pray to yourself, to worship yourself, to bow to yourself, for God dwells in you as you. Peace.